Good morning. Thank you, Kurt, for those fans. I think it's making a little bit of difference. I'd like to welcome our visitors today. We have a number of people visiting with us, a number from West Virginia and from Oregon. We have a visitor from Las Vegas by way of Albuquerque. Visiting with us today. We're very glad that you came to worship with us. Do have an announcement. Shay and Kurt send their best that they got settled in Texas fine, and they send their love to us here at South Valley. Amber Lyman has brought forth a prayer request that she was recently in a car accident. She drives for Uber, and her account has been suspended until she gets the damage fixed, and that's coming right on the heels of her and Gus are getting ready to move into a new condo, and they're a little short on that, and they were wondering if anybody would be interested in helping them at this time to see Amber right after services. I know it's hot. I'm going to talk fast. Our topic is today, fathers. Dads, you get the short end of the stick again. Yet again. But our topic today is fathers. Today is Father's Day. And I want to wish all the fathers, the grandfathers, a very heartfelt happy Father's Day. The things that you do day in and day out is truly commendable, and we appreciate it. This today is a salute to dads. Dads, you're in a lot of ways, you're the first heroes the kids have. You're the provider, going out there slogging day after day to make ends meet, to keep a roof over our heads and so forth, and we appreciate it. A lot of times you're our first teacher. You're our defender. You're our encourager to do better, to be better, to push yourself, to do things that you on your own maybe never thought you could do. Sometimes the more delicate side of dads have to mend broken hearts. You do it all, and it's acknowledged. In Proverbs 13, verse 22, the passage that Preston read earlier during our scripture reading, Proverbs 13, 22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children." Inheritance isn't necessarily financial. I think I got from my dad maybe a total of $4.32, but I got much more than that, much more than the finances. An inheritance, the family name that we leave our children and their children. That is important it says, a good man leaves an inheritance. Do we leave our children and their children a good family name? I never wanted to dishonor or give a bad reputation for that name that my dad had worked so hard to give me. An inheritance, sons learn how to be a man, what a true man is, not what the world says, not what the media says a man is. But we teach our sons what it is to be a man. We teach our daughters what to look for in a husband, hopefully. We teach them values. We teach them a work ethic. Those are all things that are given down to children and their children. Also, how to age. How to age gracefully. I'm kind of aging, kicking and screaming and creaking and falling apart before your very eyes. We teach them, we give them a spiritual inheritance, teaching them about God. Sometimes the dads are the first teachers. We teach them how to pray, not only the physical how to pray, but the importance of prayer. How often do they see dads pray? What do they see the dads pray about? How do they see the dads react when things don't go the way they want? We teach an awful lot about prayer. We teach them and give them an inheritance spiritually how to deal with other Christians. When things don't go our way, do we get all huffy and just storm out? Do we sit down and work things through with another Christian? Or on the way home, does a family have roast preacher and skewed song leader for lunch? Criticizing the songs, criticizing how slow it was, that I didn't like that song. Criticizing the preacher. And then they also teach spiritually the priorities of life. They see little children, they don't have to be very old, to see what's important to dad. How often are they in attendance of Bible school, of Bible study? How often are they in attendance? Oh yeah, we'll go to church. Unless something better comes along. Unless I get a better offer. Or we had a late night which you had control over yourself. They find out the priorities of God in their life, of prayer, etc. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. I tell you, you can go through money. You can be given a big pot of money and you can go through that. But a good name will carry you a lot farther than the gold and silver will. Proverbs 20 verse 7 says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. You know, many of the people in here, I've been blessed to also know, not only you, but your fathers. Some of you, I know your grandfathers. And it says, a righteous man walks in his integrity. That's one of those things, that inheritance that you give to somebody else. And it says the results of that is his children are blessed after him. One thing I could always say, I can't say it about my son toward me, but I was never ashamed of being Charlie Eubank's son. I was never ashamed of having him as my father. And hopefully our children can say that about us. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Training takes effort. It's not a one and done deal. It's like in athletics, repetition, repetition, repetition. And you train up a child, not only in words, but in action. We talked about that in Bible class today, about it's not only just what you say with your mouth, but you can invalidate what you're saying by the way you live. And we train up our children not only verbally, but with our conduct and our attitude. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 5, and actually starting in verse 4, it says, "The Lord our God is one." And then it goes on to explain that in starting in verse 5. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Not a part of it. Not what I've got left over after everybody else gets it, but with all. Goes on to say, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Not just on your lips, but in your heart. "You shall teach them diligently." This is not a haphazard if I get around to it. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." What is being said here, it's a lifestyle. It's not just during these activities. It's in any and all activities you live it. "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Whether you physically do that, it should at least be done. People going by, your neighbors should know you're a child of God. Your neighbors, the people that you run into, should visibly know a Christian lives there by the way I've seen them conduct themselves. In 1 Kings, we see an awful lot from King David. Even King David died. But in verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying," he's on his deathbed. And it is recorded some of the things that David wanted to pass on to Solomon before he dies. It says, "I go the way of all the earth. Be strong. Therefore, and prove yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn." That's one of the things that as David is dying, he's wanting to pass on to his son, and hoping his son will continue on the way he did. Very similar passage in 1 Chronicles. "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." Wise words to a son at the end of his life. Not everybody is a biological father. Some of us will never enjoy having children. Sometimes that's a blessing. Some of us will not have biological children, but you can be a father figure in the church, in the world. There's teachers, coaches, friends of the family, people you work with that may desperately need a father figure in their life that they can turn to, that they could learn from. And it's beneficial for both. Biblically, we see this relationship with Paul and Timothy. Timothy was not Paul's biological child, but I don't know if there was two people in the New Testament that were closer than Paul and Timothy. Paul calls him his true son in the faith. Calls him my beloved son, my son. But they were not related. I've been very fortunate to have had relationships like that. Right, Missy? where you're not related, but you couldn't be closer if you were. You saw Peter and Mark, where the Apostle Peter would refer to Mark as my son. Now we know Peter was married and had children because he was an elder. And that's one of the qualifications of an elder. But yet he was as close with Mark as he was his own son. Fathers, there is great joy. Great joy. And there are great rewards in being a father, but there also comes tremendous responsibilities to our children. Not only to our children, whether they're biological or semi-adopted, but also to God, that we have a lot to uphold. As we go into this new week, let us remember we can be fathers biologically, but also figuratively, spiritually. Let's reach out, be those mentors that we need to be, men. Be those men that God wants us to be, that so many others need from us. If you need to respond to the invitation when Frank leads us in the closing song, please come forward. If you need prayers, if you need to repent of sin, if you'd like to put your Lord on in baptism, whatever your need, please come forward. Let your need be known while Frank leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.